hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Mr. Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going today, baby?
You know, I think I'm being held together by scotch tape and a little bit of glue, but doing okay, making my way through this month, this crazy, crazy month of ours.
Yes, we had a great weekend over in Columbus. We were in Cleveland. We were in Detroit. I mean, it was a really, really fun weekend. Thank you for everybody who came out, got back, got on notes, and ready to do today's shows. And today we start with Chopper Chef. We are going to end this tour next week. We're very excited. We are doing a Texas ending, just like Top Chef, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to pick our finalists in Texas. Sorry, Ben. Pack your knives and go. We're ending in Texas. We're starting at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival on Tuesday night, next Tuesday. And then we're going to be heading over to Houston, and then we're ending in Dallas, okay, for our big grand finale. We will announce what shows we're doing, I guess, tomorrow, late today or tomorrow. So check our Instagram for that at Watch What Crappens or our Twitter at What Crappens, and get tickets for that over at watchwhatcrappens.com. All the ticket links are there. If you want some tour merch or something to wear, look cute, you can go find that. We've got a bunch of new merch over at crappensmerch.com. This week, we're also doing, like usual, a couple of video recaps over on Crappens On Demand, in addition to our bonus episode. This week's, well, I guess it's last week now, that bonus was a road trip, and it was super fun.
That was great.
And this week, we are going to be doing a Beverly Hills video, a preview video of a trailer breakdown. So join us for that. And I think that's all
take
I have
a seat.
To say, guy.
We got Take a Seat tonight, where we'll be talking about all sorts of Bravo gossip, etc. So join us for that on Green Room, Spotify's Green Room app. It's free. You don't have to have a Spotify account, but if you have one, it makes it a little easier, but it's still fine. And we always have a lot of fun with that. So come join us tonight. That's at 7 o'clock on the West Coast, 10 o'clock on the East Coast. And then a personal plug. I'm very excited that with all this traveling around that we've been doing, there's been a lot of time on airplanes. And so for the first time in like 2 years, I have finally made a new episode of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is basically just a spoof of Roni. Rest in peace. So I think I'm going to put that up on Friday on the old YouTube channel. So, you know, go check out the YouTube channel, catch up on the old videos, and we'll have a I'll set it up to launch on Friday morning for the new
Love
Real
it.
Housewares.
Tell them what your
Real
YouTube
Housewares.
Channel is.
It's just The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. So you can go and, you can see the evolution of the series. It's so funny. The first episode was like 2 minutes long and it was so bizarre. And it's just going in a strange direction. But I'm just having fun with it. It's a little fun side project.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm excited to see a new episode, man.
I'm turning into like inside the actor studio. Well, the first time I did an episode of animation of Forks and Spoons, it was quite a wonderful journey for me.
But, well, listen, yeah. I listen to the Oprah podcast where she interviews celebrities and I answer all the questions. So, you know, you got to be your own biggest fan and believer. So,
yeah,
that's just how I roll. Maybe I'll do that for a podcast. I'll just pretend Oprah's interviewing me. I'll just cut all of the celebrity answers out and answer them all myself.
Kind of funny. You and Oprah have a podcast together. She just doesn't know. I'm sure there's no copyright infringement or anything like that.
Oh, well, previously on Top Chef, this soup is broken.
Previously, you all were disgusting.
I was so mad about broken soup. Who broke the soup? Gail, did you think the soup was a bus seat again?
I don't even remember what was the last challenge on Top Chef. Why am I totally blanking on it?
They look just the same.
Oh, the pears.
But they taste totally different.
That's right. The panna cottas. Yeah, that's right.
Twinning
okay,
with
thank
Wiley
you.
Dufresne.
That stupid man named after a coyote who's even stupider. I mean, what sort of coyote cares about TNT? Am I right?
I'd love to pit him up against Gail, but we all know she's not going to be any kind of runner, road or otherwise. Sorry, Gail. Have a seat.
Is there such a thing as a road sitter and faller downer on?
Is there a road muncher? Gail did.
Wile E. Coyote thinks he's in for a treat by capturing Gail. Little does he realize he's Gail's dinner. That one needed work. I'm sorry.
So we start with a don, 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 don. It's like a Top Chef danger, but it's also a jingle song. It's very confusing. And Joe
well, it's
is
like that part of Inspector Gadget. You know, like in the theme song, it goes dun 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 dun. And you're like, oh no, danger! It goes, go gadget, go, and it's like fun again.
Yeah, I think. So it's like that. So Jo is making a call to her fiance, and she's like, yeah, I'm homesick, and that's such an understatement. I feel like working for Jonathan Waxman for so long, I wouldn't say homesick. I would do it more Cali style. But you know what? It's just I'm really thankful for Leah and also Jonathan Waxman. You know, she's been my rock, just like Jonathan Waxman. And I waited a really long time to find her through Jonathan Waxman. So that's where I'm at.
The way I just try to keep her in my life is I took a bunch of candles and I melted them down into the shape of her. So that way it's both Leah and it's an actual little wax man. Anyway, so, you know, I just haven't been able to find my stride. I mean, my goals in Top Chef have always been about visibility for Jonathan Waxman. Because, you know, living in Texas when you're not Jonathan Waxman is hard. It's hard to feel like your friends are being legislated against and Jonathan Waxman.
Yeah, and it's true. I live in Texas and I get it. And, you know, it is that whole, like, what am I even doing here? And then the other part of me is like, well, but then you're making a difference by being here, which I don't really know that I am. It's like, what am I doing? You know, I'm not doing anything to help, like, women's rights or gay rights. I'm just, it's like, what's my argument? Like, hey, Texas, a gay person eats your white bread too. So where's my rights?
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know, Ronnie. You never know how many people see you walking down the street and say, you know what? I think I'm down with gay rights. You know?
Yeah. So bacon, pumpkin seeds, and Padma and leather. That's where we're going today. Those were our first shots. Bacon, pumpkin seeds. I'm wearing leather.
Welcome, chefs. I hope you had a lovely drive in your BMW X5s to get here to the Quickfire Challenge. Anyway, please welcome this week's pair of Quickfire judges, two poor people we found on the street, Nini and this blonde girl, whatever her name is, Kelsey. Wow.
Top Chef Kentucky winner, Kelsey. I still think Kelsey's lying about her whole personality. I'm not buying a damn thing about Kelsey. I still feel like Kelsey is like the angry baby from Roger Rabbit who's like, fuck you. She's like, hi, I'm Kelsey. I'm from Kentucky. You know what I love? Cooking. Cooking homestyle food for every accessible homestyle. And then she gets off camera and she's like, get my fucking cigarettes. If I told you once, I told you a million goddamn times. Don't look me in the eye.
Well, I'm sure she's definitely like that now that she's won the show. She's probably a total monster wherever she goes. I just assume that of everyone who wins Top Chef.
She comes across that. I don't know. I don't even remember what in her season gave me that impersonation, but I really liked her at first. And then by the end, I was like, hate her. Because she didn't like somebody and she was kind of mean girl to them or something. I don't know. It's all been squished out of my brain. I may forget the actual evidence that I once held in my head, but I never forget the feelings of dislike. Now, on the other hand, I love me some Nini Nguyen. Love her.
I love Nini. Oh, my God. I'm still like, I just want justice for her. I don't even remember what happened. But whatever happened that caused her to not win, I am just like totally morally against whatever that was because I just love her. One of my favorites of all time.
Nini Nguyen, love you. I watch her Instagram account, whatever you call that. Sorry, I'm an old person with Instagram. I watch her Instagrams. And, you know, she taught me how to cut an onion better. And just when you thought you could never cut an onion better. Like, I know how to cut an onion, okay?
Do tell. Do tell.
Well, you know how you cut it and sometimes you're going, okay, well, first when you cut an onion, you cut the tail off first, right? And you leave the hair. And then you cut it down the center of the hair area, and then you peel it and whatever. I always do it unevenly. And she said, once you set it down, if you actually cut with the knife facing you, like use the back end, it's straight on the knife. It's not curved. So you get a more even chop on your onion. I don't know if that made any sense or if I have to show you the actual picture.
You'll have to show me because I don't think I understood what you meant by that. Like
you cut the onion in half and you put both sides of the onion flat side down on the cutting board, right?
Yeah.
And then you know how you cut...
God, like the matchstick?
Yes. You know how you cut towards where the hair is?
Yeah.
Okay. So I always cut that part unevenly. And she said, so you always get an even cut. Use the back of the knife, you know, like... the handle facing the opposite way because it goes straight down. It's not the curved part of the knife. It's the straight part. Still making no sense, right? This is why Instagram's popular. It doesn't rely on stupid people describing things. You can see a picture, okay?
A video. I need to still see. I'm starting to realize now what you're talking about. I am definitely going to try that tonight. Like, that is 100% something I'm going to try. So you do it the reverse way with the knife.
And so you always know where it's going to be.
It'll always be even.
Right, because if you do it, like, just pointy side forward, that part curves, and you kind of get it uneven every time. I mean, it was a simple thing, but it's...
It changes your life.
So smart. Yeah. It changed my... Thank you, Nini. You changed my life. You've also confused half the audience through me. So there you go. Yeah, Kelsey, where's your tip?
Where's your knife hack? So
Kelsey has given me nothing in the kitchen. Okay, she's given me no tips. So thanks a lot, Kelsey.
But wait, there's one more person who can't miss this part of the challenge. My dear friend, Timothy Chalamet. Oh wait, no. Okay, it's someone much less famous. It's the winner of Last Chance Kitchen, Appalachia Face, Ashley.
Well, she says the first winner of Last Chance. Because now Last Chance Kitchen, winner. I guess, is just going to go on longer than Cats. Like, how many are you going to bring back, guys? Let's just stop sending anybody home ever, okay? Just cancel everybody's plane and bring everybody back for the finale. You guys are extending this too much, okay? There's one person. Last Chance Kitchen is one.
Yeah, it's many chance kitchen. I also like that when Ashley comes out from, you know, from the doors to be like, I'm back. Padma turns to Nini and Kelsey and goes, she just left Last Challenge. Yeah. Isn't that embarrassing?
And Ashley's like, hi, I'm back. And I still haven't changed my blouse. I was like, Ashley, this is your second chance. Like, you need to change your interview blouse. You know, it's like, look, I'm back. And now she can be in like her housewife's ball gown. You know how they change outfits? You know, it's a different recording session.
Yes. I just love that you're calling it her blouse. It's like a little Mondrian blouse. You said, I think
it's a blouse. What else do you call it?
I thought it was a sweatshirt.
No,
it's a blousy sweatshirt.
It's got color squares on it, like all the colors of Twister or whatever, but in squares.
Right, like a Montreal style. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just confusing. Now you're just naming hotels I can't afford.
Wow. Okay, we'll just drop that for now. That's a no and. So.
Too late.
That's not a Mondrian, it's a yes and, but just a no and.
Be a Mondrian, not a Mondricant.
Gail once went to go to a Mondrian exhibit, but she got kicked out of the museum for eating the canvas.
So, why is Tom here? I don't know.
Because I guess flashback.
We see a clip. Yeah, we see a clip of Last Chance.
Yeah, hey, guess what? Ashley, you win. And Sarah, it's not over for you. You get to just still stay here in this strange off-TV purgatory until we decide what to do with you. Okay, good luck.
You are still the last person left in Last Chance kind of kitchen. So enjoy that. Has this helped your self-confidence? She's like, no, I'm still not very self-confident. Good, wasn't trying. All right, Padma.
Padma. So Ashley's like, wow, it's been a whirlwind of 5 hours, but it feels good to be standing back in the Top Chef kitchen where I was yesterday.
And Nini's like, guys, today's quick fire is salty like me. Nini, you are not salty.
What are you talking about? I know. And then I know you must have gotten really mad when Kelsey said, and sweet like me. I knew you were probably just like shaking your TV.
I was like, shut up, TV. Well, some of the time, well, half of you get to choose one jar of salty things and the other gets a jar of sweet things. And then once you get your ingredients, stand over there.
We're going to divide you into salty losers versus sweet losers.
And Luke is like, oh my God, there's jars, but then in the middle, there's a big black box. Oh, it's got seaweed in it.
I know. He probably looked in every jar for some seaweed. You know that. So Nick grabs pork rinds. I mean, I don't know if he's ever seen this show. Even if you didn't know that this was going to be a Talenti challenge, you still should know that pork rinds are going to be a dangerous thing to choose on Top Chef. And he goes, well, you definitely can't go wrong with pork rinds. Am I right? I'm like, you literally can go the most wrong with pork rinds.
You can, but they're one of those snacks that chefs are like real chefy about because it's like skin or something, you know? It's not like just a fun Dorito snack. It's like, something died for this. Mmm, what a classy snack.
Well, I mean, we're going to probably see many chefs do a very chefy version of pork rinds. I mean, not to jump ahead. I mean, this is an episode that had chicken fudge. So I'm sure that like we'll have something like, oh, and this is like a seaweed pork rind or something like that. It's just a pork rind made of seaweed. And you're just like, no, it's not a pork rind. It's just seaweed that you puffed. Okay.
So she announces, for this quickfire, we want you to create, Kelsey says, is sweet. And then he says, and salty like me.
Yes, it's a dessert, but with a twist. Whoever loses dies. Oh, we're not going that direction anymore? Okay.
Evelyn has brought a mold for Buñuelos, which is funny. She's just been waiting to use this mold, you know? She's like, when am I going to whip out my Buñuelos molds? This is it. This is it. Today is the day.
Well, our friends at Talenti, Gelato, and Sorbetto are back for another quickfire challenge. But this time, we're taking inspiration from a new range of flavors, Talenti Pairings. They're layers, but they stand up.
Talenti Pairings, where ice cream falls in love with ice cream. It's basically girls' Tinder.
And if you haven't guessed it already, you probably haven't because you're all kind of dumb, but you'll be working in teams of two for this quick fire.
Don't worry, none of you will have to cuddle on a couch and pretend to enjoy whatever chick flick girl is watching on Netflix with a cat, okay?
To give you an idea of some sweet and... I wrote sweet and salad pairings. That's very gale. To give you some idea of a sweet and salty pairings that work, here's some Talenti gelato pairings in the freezer that you can taste.
So they pair up and they're coming up with their ideas. And like you said, Nick has pork rinds and he teams up with Ashley. And she's like, so I want to do a gingerbread cake, I guess. But how are we going to do that with pork rinds? And he's like, they can be candied pork rinds. Which, yeah. There is such a thing as being too chefy. Okay.
So Padma's like, this is a challenge you're going to want to win. Because not only is there a $10,000 cash prize for the pair of winners, but there's double immunity. And your dessert will help inspire a new Talenti gelato flavor.
Mm-hmm. So let's see here. Who's working together? So Buddha and Luke are going to work together because they're both like fancy. And Buddha is bossing Luke around because Luke doesn't know anything. Like, can we just all face the fact? Luke doesn't know shit.
He doesn't know.
At this point.
He doesn't know anything.
Yeah, he doesn't know
anything. He was a busboy over there. Let's be honest.
Yeah. So Buddha's like, well, I moved to Melbourne at 17. I got a job at a restaurant and I was on pastries. So making miso leaves and miso cake with honey ice cream should be a dream for me.
Yeah, and by the way, of course Luke went for the miso because as much as he goes for seaweed, he also loves, he has like his basic ingredients, seaweed, miso, and mushrooms. It's always going to be one of those ingredients at any given moment, usually seaweed. So of course he went for miso in this case.
And his food is always undersalted, which cracks me up.
Yes.
I think he picks yeah. every salty thing but cannot salt his food. So Evelyn is, of course, going to do Buñuelos. And she's working with Joe because, you know, they're a comedy team. So they're also a yeah. chef team. And Joe's going to do a basil cream, which I don't know. You know, I don't write down every ingredient they're making. But looking at this note, I need more from Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm open to a basil ice cream or a basil cream of some sort. But I thought Joe was going to be like one of the best ones this season. And she's been very mid-pack, as it turns out. I mean, I'm going to say it right now. I think she's going to go home next week. Or she's not going to make it past Restaurant Wars. I'm saying they already gave her the phone call from death, which we now know they do like 1 or 2 weeks ahead of time.
Yeah. So then Monique, who is she working with?
She's working with...
Oh, Damar.
Damar. Yeah.
I'm like, who is Dam? Why would I call somebody Dam? But it's Damar, because I abbreviate names. So he's like, you know, I only know 3 desserts, so I'm going to rely on Monique for this one. Danger.
Yeah.
Danger.
Words you don't want to say on Top Chef. And so she wants to make like a corn ice cream. And so then Jay is stuck with Jackson, who's just like so annoying. And he's just sort of like bounding around. She calls him a little horse because he just keeps on like bouncing around all over the kitchen. He just drives me nuts. I don't know why. Like every season there's someone who irrationally I can't stand, and Jackson is the one for me.
I think it's completely rational. I can't stand him either.
Okay, good.
But I do see that he's talented, so I feel like I should like him. But hey, I dislike a lot of talented people. Just keep listening. Yeah. So Damar is talking about how he's making, he sees footballs, like the shape of footballs or something. And Monique says they're called broquettes. And I don't know. Now I'm at the part where my notes make zero sense. So just carry on. Let's just skip to the end.
Let's just get to the judging. So by the way, I kind of miss the days when Padma would go like from station to station, and now they go up to her like giant, you know, corporate like a conference room desk that she has. So the first up are Jackson and Jay. Please come up. What do we have here? So they serve rosemary poached Asian pear with pistachio cookie, pistachio cream, and salted creme fraiche, which looks pretty good.
And Nini's like, have you made a pistachio cookie before? Oh my God, you sound too interested. We said salty, stupid.
No, you have to put the right emphasis. Like, have you ever made a pistachio cookie before? See how much better that sounds.
So, have you recently fucked up a pistachio cookie, or did you save the special experience just for us?
So then Jackson goes, I've done cookies with nuts in them, but this one, this is the one I want. I wanted that textural component or something like that. I don't know. He definitely acted as if like all his life he just dreamed of making a cookie with pistachios, and he finally got a chance to this time. I'm like, dare to dream.
So then Nick serves the, listen to this note, okay? Gender Snap Bundy. That's what I wrote. Ginger snap bundt cake with lemon ice and a pork rind crumble. Mm-hmm. And Padma's like, wow, so pork rinds and ginger snaps. Wow.
It almost sounds like what Gail wore last night to dinner. So Kelsey's like, I love it. And Nini says, it's almost like cereal.
It eats which like I guess cereal.
Is a good thing.
Like when they say that, it eats like cereal. Just imagine my cereal eating things.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Evelyn serves her salted buñuelo, and Kelsey's like, wow, this smells like the state fair. And I mean that in the best way ever. God, I'm so southern. We have state fairs. I guess, Kelsey. Okay, got it. Got it, Kelsey.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar. What is a state fair? Is this a place where you just sort of like walk around and look at pigs rolling around in mud? Gail would love that.
So then Damar and Monique serve their cornbread ice cream with cornbread crumble.
Yes. Crumble. And get it all. I mean, everything looks great. And Padma says so. She goes, wow. All the dishes have been really creative and delicious. I'm going to make you do weird stuff more often. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, comedy. I'm so good at it.
And next up is Buddha and Luke's miso cake crumble with miso honey crumble or something. Sounds stupid, I have to say. Love you, Buddha. Sounds stupid. You're teamed up with someone I don't like, so stupid. So, Nene, Kelsey, how did they do? Please give us a little more salt over there, Wen. All right.
So, Kelsey's like, y'all's food was just really good and really pretty and interesting. Come on, just spit it out, Blondie. Okay, well.
Nene's like, can I get your autographs? God, you guys are so talented. Jesus, you're hopeless.
So in the top are Nick and Ashley. And Kelsey's like, I mean, it really could have gone very, very wrong. And it didn't. I know. It's like Gail bungee jumping.
And then Damar and Monique with their corn ice cream. And Kelsey goes, corn ice cream is seriously my favorite flavor.
That's a lie.
That's not a because lie. Like, it's what's a lie. Favorite flavor? Corn ice cream, of course.
I'm telling you it's a lie. And I'm saying this because I don't feel like corn ice cream is readily available enough for it to become someone's favorite. Like, I think people would say this is delicious, but I feel like it can only really ascend to favorite if it's like whenever you go into an ice cream shop, you got to get that corn ice cream, you know?
Yeah, it's just very Kelsey to be like, you know what it tastes like? State Fair. I'm Southern. And then being like, corn ice cream is my favorite. It's like she has to like be as, you know, like down home as possible, but also as snotty as possible at the same time. You know, you can't just choose one. Pick a lane, Kels.
Yeah. So the winner, unbelievably, it's Nick and Ashley. Nick and Ashley win. And Padma goes, yay.
So pork rind ice cream wins. So good fucking luck, Talenti. I'm sure Talenti's heads were exploding when this was announced.
I know. Like, I literally don't know how they're going to do that. I mean, I would have it, but I just don't know how they market that. I don't even know how they, like, even suggest pork rinds in their ice cream. I don't know
how. Like, how do you even market that? Oh, I thought it was really funny that last time, from what I remember, they were like, Nat, you guys will be coming up with the new flavor of Talenti. And this time she says, you will be coming up with a flavor that will inspire a new flavor of Talenti. So they've given themselves an out.
Watch Talenti come up with some pairing that's like chocolate and mint. And it's called the whole hog or something like that. Like they, yes. Like that's where the pork rind winds up. It's just in the title, like vaguely referenced.
Right. When pigs fly, vanilla ice cream with salted chocolate chips shaped like flying pigs.
When pigs fly, sweet vanilla ice cream paired with vanilla ice cream that's a little bit saltier.
Yes. So, you know, they're psyched, obviously. And Padma's like, wow, Ashley, way to come back.
I mean, were you ever really gone? So then, we just like, actually, my favorite. I love when Padma does this. They're like, wow, that was great. And we're going to donate $5 million to a charity. It's going to be a wonderful time. What a fun time. Okay, Kelsey and Nene, bye. Get out of here. Just kicks them out.
I'm going to say the same thing to you that I said to Gail when I accidentally walked in on her taking a shower. Gail, pork rinds, good God.
Okay, now that the non-famous guests have left, let's get on to a challenge with more famous people, okay? We've had a lot of fun with classic Texas dishes and traditions these past few weeks. Well, some of us have had fun. I mean, it's been boring for me, personally. God, I can't wait to get out of here. Anyway, it's time to get to the heart of Texas.
Yes, and here to help introduce the challenge, let's please welcome Tiffany Gale's favorite vegetable, dairy.
Tiffany Gale's favorite vegetable, dairy.
You'll be making a dish to honor five trailblazing Texas women
whose rights are being stripped away by the moment. So you're going to give them food, and then we're going to decide which right to take away from them. Okay, let's draw knives that we're going to hold to the women's throats. Enjoy Texas!
Yeah, so they all have to pick knives, and each knife is a super, like, important, influential woman who came from Texas. And so Joe pulls first, and Joe gets my current coaster that my coffee is on, Ann Richards, because I have my little Ann Richards coaster right here that I got when I was with you, Ronnie, in Austin, Texas last time. So she gets Ann Richards.
I have the same way. I'd love some Ann Richards.
And Padma goes, Ann Richards, yes.
Yeah. She gave us her little yes. Evelyn chooses Selena, which is pretty great. And Monique and Jax get Barbara Jordan. And they're also celebrating Babe Diedrichson Harris. Jackson's like, wow, it seems really difficult to wrap these women's stories into a dish made out of fried cheese, but I'm going to find a way to do it.
That's pretty much what he is going to do. And then Luke and Buddha get Bessie Coleman, who is like she's the first African American and Native American female licensed aviator. And then Evelyn and Damar, I think you mentioned, or at least mentioned Evelyn, get Selena. And Padma goes, the undisputed queen of Tejano music, unlike Gail, who's the undisputed queen of Charleston Jews.
You'll cook for Christine Ha, who you met at the night market. And in honor of Barbara Jordan's work, everyone at the table will have an equal vote. Go, run back, little. I'm not moving from this gel mat, so somebody come carry me out of here, please. Or grind ice cream. Good God.
We want you to celebrate the legacy of these five strong Texas women by running around the kitchen like maniacs. Go.
So they're all running around and Googling their women. And let's
see. This is the fun part. This is one of those challenges where we get to see how these chefs' minds work. We get to see who is a literalist and who actually can think more abstractly. Because there's always someone that's like, Ann Richards, well, she had white hair, so I'm going to make marshmallows. There's always someone who's just like so on the nose. And so it's fun to see how this is all going to
It's shocking who that person is today, isn't it? Just shocking. I mean, I know I was shocked that person was Jax.
I know. Well, but first we hear Ashley's take. Ashley's like, well, you know, Babe is the daughter of poor Norwegian immigrants, and I don't know about the foods of Norway, but it makes me think of my family, so I'm going to make an Appalachian-inspired dish. I'm like, okay, that has nothing. So basically, she has a family, and you have a family, so you're going to cook your food, okay?
Yes. She's not even going to try. She's not even going to try, and you just got let back in the door, ma'am. Come on. So Evelyn's like, I was Selena for 5 years in a row for Halloween. And I was like, oh my God, please don't just make like something out of those tiny Snicker bars melted up, you know, like Halloween candy. But she's not. Like she's going to do crackles. Something better.
Yes. Crackles and Mr. Good bars. It's just a giant jack-o'-lantern. She just serves up like a giant an orange.
Candy bars coating apples, possibly with blades in them.
Smarties. Well, I was married to Salman Rushdie, so thank you for this gift. So then they're just all, this is also one of those challenges where you see them sometimes putting their like getting really excited, and you know that for one person they're just gonna have a crushing defeat because they're like, this is the challenge, it means something more to me, and you're like, oh no, I hope you don't get your soul crushed by this because I think it's going to happen.
Yeah. So they go over to Whole Foods in their BMWs, just like all of us. And Lika's driving and he's talking to Buddha. And he's like, well, I'm sitting over here in the non-immunity seat. Anybody know how to turn on the seaweed in this car?
I just want to know, is there a place, a charging station where you can plug in the seaweed?
Yeah, you know. I was at Whole Foods yesterday just getting a little, you know, healthy meal of mac and cheese, Whole Foods mac and cheese. And those charging stations are so obnoxious because I feel like those people don't even need to charge your damn car. This Whole Foods is in your neighborhood. You did not need to come to Whole Foods to charge. You're just basically taking handicap spots is what you're doing.
You know, you are actually very right because it's like, oh, I'm just going to go. I'm going to do a road trip time. I'm going to drive across the state of Texas. Oh, no. Oh, no. My charge is getting low. Let's go to Whole Foods. You know, it's like it's just not really what you're going to do.
Right. So then let's see. Monique.
This is good. Ronnie, this is going to be the thing that we're going to get the most responses from on Twitter. We're like, actually, those parking spots are very useful to me. We're going to get a lot of that for that one.
Maybe, but I don't know. I think that if they're going to do that, then those power things need to be in the back. I mean, having them right in front of the door is just like a fuck you. You know.
Well, I think it's supposed to incentivize. It's supposed to incentivize people to convert to electric cars instead of.
You know, your incentivization should be, or your incentive should be that you're getting free fucking charging for your car. Okay, now get it to the back because I'm resenting your fucking Tesla every time I walk into the Whole Foods.
I love this, like, Kathy Bates and Fried Green Tomatoes energy you're giving the electric car today.
Yes, you know? I'm going to go to Wanda on one of those fucking things. And I have to say, no one's ever parked in one, so I'm not even mad at anybody specific. No one's ever parked there. Of course, I'm in, like, a little town outside Austin, so maybe that's why. But I don't know. I'm just like, I could have parked closer, but here we've got somebody plugging in their car for 10 hours or whatever. Fuckers.
Oh god, I love it. I love a rant, a Ronnie rant. So yeah, anyway, well, they're at Whole Foods and they're looking around for ingredients and you know, they're finding stuff and they're also talking about their women and they're just inspired and excited. Oh, but the other thing is, but before they even get there, Buddha starts, he's actually surprisingly literal too, although he winds up ultimately doing a good job this episode. He's like, Bessie Coleman, well, the thing on her hat is a bird, so I'll be making chicken. And she loves flying, which isn't exactly chicken, but I can maybe put some sort of wing on the plate. And then she's also a pilot, so I can put a pilot pin.
He does take it far. He's like, but back then, Americans couldn't... what did he say?
He said like, so, she had to go to Europe or whatever, or to Paris.
Right. I guess women weren't allowed to fly in America yet, so she had to move to Paris. It's like someone making a French chicken. This still doesn't fly, but it does always have a pin. So
it's just, he was being a very literal person.
Yes.
And it was also kind of like, I felt like it was nice because, you know, Luke was driving, so he was helping Luke out. But I'm also like, Luke, do your own research. But then we find out that this is some of Luke's backstory, is that he has a learning disability and he has dyslexia. So it would have taken him longer to do the research, I guess. So they made like a little, you know, like dramatic moment for him about that, you know.
Yes. So then we go. So now they're shopping and Monique is taking all the oysters. And Luke's like, you're taking all the oysters? And she's like, well, I mean, there's still some shucked ones over there. He's like, I guess I'll take those. And so it's like an oyster. It's an oyster battle. It's the beginning of an oyster battle. So Monique is doing fried oysters. And she's like, I'm doing fried oysters because Barbara Jordan fought for her community even after she made it big. It's like, I don't know how those two things connect, but
yeah, it's...
I love a fried oyster. So
me too. I love a fried oyster. Although Monique does bring it together more later on. She does say how, like, since she fights for her community, she wants to make a dish that was of the ingredients that were available to her growing up, which I was like, this is a great idea, you know, and Tom says so also, which means that I'm totally right, you know, but she's, so it's like, it's going in the right direction. And I'm sort of like, oh, Monique, God, I'm really hoping for you. But like, you did get that phone call from the ring. So like, your time is, you're like at your 7-day mark, you know? So like, we know you're going to expire soon, but then we have Jackson.
Oh my God.
And this is what you were getting to before, where Jackson is the most literal in such an annoying way.
He's like, Barbara Jordan had so much heart and guts. So much heart, so much guts, so much guts, so much heart. So I'm going to do awful, which is heart and guts. Like, okay. All right. You know what? Sir, just get rid of him.
I can't. I mean, first of all, it drives me nuts that he winds up saying heart and guts so many times the rest of this episode. Every time he's like, well, she had a lot of heart and guts, so I made heart and guts. And then I just feel like, just stop saying the word awful, because it sounds too much like awful. Like, you just don't want to. Like, we're not trying to, like, have any accidental wordplay happening with your dish to celebrate these women right now.
So then back at home, they're talking about this challenge, you know, and Ashley's like, you know, there's all these power women and I check all these boxes. I'm black, I'm a woman, I'm queer, and I've been the only woman in the kitchen. I've been the only one of those boxes in the kitchen, and I just want anyone to be able to walk into my kitchen and find a place, which is nice. And yeah. Then Jay is like, well, I worked at Leah Chase's restaurant for 5 months and she became my mentor, and you know, I love her. She's my idol. And then she gets all
that was amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Can you believe
right?
that? Like, that's like what, I mean, how amazing that Jay has that, you know, like that she got to work, you know, for Leah Chase towards the end of Leah Chase's life. Like, Leah Chase is such a, you know, she's like an icon, and like to, it also makes you think about all the other, I mean, Jay was only there for 5 months and Leah Chase, you know, for decades. Imagine all the other people that Leah Chase mentioned. I don't know. I got, then I was like in my own little Top Chef episode. I was like going to make my own Leah Chase recipe to celebrate her after that.
Yeah, I had her food in New Orleans. They have a Leah Chase restaurant at the airport in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And even the airport food is really good. I mean, it was delicious. I could barely walk when I got home that day. I was like, oh.
Yeah, her whole story is amazing. It's amazing. I've never had her food, though. That's the thing. After all this, I haven't had her food. But maybe next time I go to New Orleans, I'll try it out.
Oh, I had a lot of her food.
I'm jealous.
Like, I'll have this, that, this, that. So then we go over to Brennan's where they're cooking. And Evelyn is talking about Selena's bold personality. She pushed boundaries. And she's like, I hope her ghost can come help me today. Tap down and help me out, Selena.
I feel like Selena's ghost would do that. I feel like Selena's ghost would be like, sure. I will do that. That's actually very much on brand for me. Yes, I'll come help out in Top Chef. And then Nick, meanwhile.
Oh, am I Nick? Hearing something while Evelyn serves her dish? Yes, I know she's a bitty. Yes, I know she's a bitty. Boo. Boo. Gail, there's some ghost here calling you a bitty.
So then Nick. So then Nick is talking about Ann Richards and how she struggled with cancer and like she wanted to embrace healthy eating because of that. So he's talking about that and he goes, so I've decided to make potatoes in the shape of mushrooms. I was like, okay, sure. I guess that'll represent healthy eating. Yeah, I don't know.
Potato crusted red snapper, kale romesco, and potatoes shaped like mushrooms. I was very confused, too.
I didn't understand that link of the healthy eating to the potato shaped like mushrooms. But that being said, I love the idea of potato shaped like mushrooms. That was like my favorite thing. I want to make those.
You can make a potato the shape of a dick. I'd eat it. Potatoes are great. Okay, yeah. Shape it into anything. I don't care. Make the satanic seal. I'll still eat that shit.
Okay. Potato is a satanic seal. I love that.
Love that. So Joe is, she's doing, this is hard because you have to remember who they're supposed to be cooking for too. And I didn't write it down on every single line.
Ann Richards apparently loved Thai influence. So Joe is going to make a Jonathan Waxman Thai influence for her dish.
And then I got really scared because Jay is like, gumbo time. I'm going to do gumbo. I'm going to fry some okra. I was like, oh, no. Anybody who is a fan of this show knows Tom hates okra. He hates it.
And also, anyone who is a fan of this show knows, don't try to do a quick gumbo. There are a few pitfalls on this show that when you hear them, you just are like, why? If you bust out the sous vide machine, good luck to you. Enjoy the rest of your career on the Food Network, okay? It's not going to work out for you. If you decide you want to do a gumbo in like half an hour, how many quick fires? Chefs, you have 20 minutes to do this challenge. I'm going to do a gumbo. I mean, normally it takes 4 hours, but I'm going to do it in 20 minutes. Like, what are you doing to yourself? Why are you making us sit through this?
Yeah, that's why I don't always believe this show. You know, it's like the lady who made, what was her name? Who cares? She made gnocchi in 20 minutes. That's literally impossible to do. I'm so furious. It just makes no sense. Okay, you cannot do it. You don't just have to boil the potato and roll it into a, it's like you boil it. Then you have to put it through a ricer. Then you have to chill it. You have to do all this shit to it. And they're like, 20 minutes. Wow, what a delicious light gnocchi. Lies.
She broke the gnocchi barrier. She went faster than the speed of gnocchi.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Okay, so I'm going to skip a little to Tiffany and Tom coming in. Is that okay?
Do you have sure. anything before that? Wait, you don't want to talk about Buddha talking about Poulet en Vessie? Wow. Wow, Ronnie. Wow. Or Jackson saying, like, once again, she had a lot of hearts and guts, so I'm going to incorporate hearts and guts into this dish.
Hearts and guts ragu. So Tiffany and Tom come in, and Luke is saying that Betsy Coleman was indigenous, brah. And he's like, you know what? Like, we only have smoked and cured salmon because of the indigenous. So I'm doing miso and seaweed cured salmon. Luke.
Wait, can I say this? Can I say this loudly enough? I have one word to describe this. Okay, this, talk about a stretch. I'm not going to say that her Bessie being indigenous is a small part of her personality. Like, that's who she is. But it felt like he kind of took one thing and then used it to jump to another concept and then used that to jump to another concept that he was familiar working with in Noma. I mean, this was ridiculous.
It comes from the Atlantic Basin. Much of it farmed in Norway, Scotland, Ireland, and the east coast of Canada. Thanks, Googs.
I was going to say, I don't think that the PNW, I don't know. I'm actually not going to get into the history of smoked salmon in the PNW in Pacific Northwest. I'm not sure what it is. I just think that first of all, also piggybacking on my rant about a 20-minute gumbo, how are you going to do like a 2-hour cure on the salmon? I mean, if you're going to make ravlok, for example, that takes 3 days. And I don't know how you can speed that up. I mean, that's just like you have to wait for osmosis. You have to wait for the molecules to like make their way into the salmon.
I just, Luke.
Right.
It's just Luke.
Can I get a cosign, please? Please.
Oh, sure. Sure. I was actually, while you were talking, I was Googling Betsy Coleman. And I could probably come up with 10 things that aren't that, whatever he just said, you know? Like, well, cured salmon. Like, you still found a way to use miso and seaweed.
I know. It's not trying to get to the core of their personality, which comes in later with Ann Richards. You know, no one thinks like this is someone who is like bold, who's like assertive, who's going to lead you with something. She's a
ball buster. I'm doing bull's balls. You know, something like that where it's like, you know, she didn't take shit from anybody. I'm going to do a bull.
I mean, literally do an airplane chicken at that point. I mean, like, even be even more literal than Buddha, because isn't there a thing, airplane chicken? Isn't that a thing?
Yes, there's airplane chicken. They had that challenge on this show once.
But they had airplane food, but isn't there a cut of chicken called an airline chicken? I'm looking it up now. How about you air fry something, okay? It's air.
Oh, my God. Because this recap isn't long enough, I just have to say I was watching that Tournament of Champions shows.
ongoing subplot of Watcher Crappens Tournament of Champions. Okay, go on.
And Tiffany from this show, from the first, redhead Tiffany from the first season of this show. I'm not your bitch.
Yeah.
And Tiffany is competing on it. And, you know, they spin the wheel and they get their wacky things that they have to do. And it comes up on air fryer. She goes, what is an air fryer? And then the whole time she's like, I don't even know what an air fryer is. Like, how do you use this? And I get that she's trying to be like, I'm too fancy to know what an air fryer is. But do you know how stupid you look when you're like, what's an air fryer?
Yeah. That's not. Like you don't Tiffany. Go on the Food Network and then turn your nose up at air fryers. That's just not going to work out well for you.
Yeah. What do you think they're selling over here on the Food Network?
Air fryers.
Okay. Good luck getting on the cover of Food Network magazine, idiot.
Stupid face. Okay.
So Monique is taking ingredients from the 1940s and she's doing fried oysters. And Tom's like, do you think that's a little tricky with the timing of that? You know, 18 is a very important year. You know, that's when you kind of decide what you're going to be for the rest of your life. Are you sure you're ready to give it all up to throw some, metal containers in the air holding cosmopolitans for a bunch of girls that aren't going to sleep with you in the first place.
Huh? Tom, I struggle to understand what that has to do with my fried oyster. Nothing. Just sort of like contemplating the idea that the world could be your oyster. And instead you decide to become a mixologist. That's what I said to my son.
My only point is that no matter what year it is, 1940s, 2022, Father's Day comes and I kick myself in the balls. Okay, moving on.
So then we go to Damar, and Damar's having a little bit of a hiccup because he's trying to make tortillas for the first time. And we think this is going to be a disaster for him because it's that classic thing of like, I've never done this before, but I want to do it on Top Chef. So he's making tortillas he wants to celebrate his staff because he has Selena and everything. So he wants to obviously do something sort of Latino. And Damar is like, Tom tries to set him up. This, I was like, Tom, you are a sneaky bastard here. Because Tom is like, so, well, you never made tortillas, but do you have any store-bought tortillas as backup? And he's like, no, Tom, I don't. And Tom's like, really? He's like, no, because I don't want to have that moment where you're like, oh, did you make the tortillas yourself? And he's like, oh, well, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Now, Tom's going to set you up either way, because now if the tortillas suck, Tom's going to be like, well, you should have had a backup. Store-bought tortillas. Perfectly good.
Yeah, you know, if you can't find a tortilla, there's always frozen scallops. You try those?
You know what? We love chickpeas from the can. So wish you could have tried that.
So then they go over to Evelyn and they're like, you're coming off a big win. And she's like, well, yeah, but I love Selena, so I'm going to be fine. I mean, she's so amazing.
And she says her favorite song is Color de Flor, right? Is that what she says? Color
de Flor? Yeah, like a flower.
Oh, no, Como de Flor. Means I'm eating flowers. And so... Damar is still struggling with tortillas and they're ripping and he's gonna put a little more flour, and Evelyn's like, yeah, just use a little more flour, just like my song. I eat flowers. I'm gonna beat you.
So then Luke, in an effort to make us hate him the most, he's like, I'm gonna be making chicken fudge. I'm like, just stop, just please, yeah, just start career change. Like, I saw job applications at the Hertz rental car or something else. Like, this is chicken, no, not fudge. Chicken fudge. And he goes, it's a compound butter with chicken that has the consistency of a fudge. I'm like, well, first of all, it should be called chicken butter, which is mildly better than chicken fudge. But all like chicken fudge? Chicken fudge?
No, sir. So then the judges gather, and it's a big table of women, right? And so Padma's like, welcome, everybody. It means the world to all of us for you to all be here. What a great way to honor women. Wow, a whole table of less famous women than are being celebrated here today. How do you stay so non-famous?
I try to invite other famous women like my dear friends, Lena Waithe and Ali Wong. But they say they had something better to do, like go to the Oscars or something. I don't know. I hang out with such an influential crowd. It's hard to keep up.
And Ann Richards' daughter is telling Selena's sister, I don't know, they're all complimenting each other.
She's telling Cheryl Swoops, actually, I think.
Oh. But they're all complimenting each other and saying, like, what an honor it is to be there with each other. And then we go back to the kitchen, and Buddha's like, my chicken has been cooked in a bag. It's going to be great. I was like, oh, no, Buddha, no.
No, because famously, my lady, not only was she a pilot, but every now and then, when she needed to carry several things, she would use a bag. So it all works out.
whenever the plane was about to crash, a bag would fall from the overhead compartment, and she would have to breathe chicken out of it, which didn't fly, but she was flying, so it made the flying chicken.
The chicken got to experience the sensations of flight. So Cecile Richards is like, by the way, Cheryl Swoopes, my mother and Barbara Jordan would sit on the floor of the Irwin Center and just watch you, Cheryl, play basketball. And I just feel like that spirit is at the table. Okay. And can I just say one more thing? And Pamela's like, you can say as many things as you want, because the more you speak, the less we have to watch Gail have chicken fudge fall out of her mouth.
Please keep talking about how not famous you are. That's why God invented editors. The real heroes of this episode.
Okay, so shall we just start serving?
Yes, Evelyn and Damar are first.
Okay, and Evelyn and Damar are first. So, pretty green water. So Patton was like, wow, inspired by Selena, Evelyn and Damar. Here's Suzette. Selena's something of, I think it's her sister. No one really cares. What was it like knowing Selena? A person I'm not going to remember in about 5 minutes.
And I don't remember what the sister said, but Evelyn basically offers up hers, which looks amazing, by the way. It was a snapper with Asian pears and chives and avocado, and it was like an agua chile. And then Damar, he gives up a green pozole with tortillas, the famous tortillas, and the cabbage and radish and cilantro.
Yes. And he's like, well, I was raised by three women in the kitchen, so this is very important to me. You know, he's getting, they're like, okay, we got it.
Yeah, so, she's like, Damar, what does it feel like to be standing here right now? And he's like, well, normally I'm calm, but I'm like a little nervous. Oh, really? Do you want to cry, Damar? You feeling shaky, Damar? Cry. He's like, whoa.
Okay, let me give you your inspiration. Gail, the snack machine is out of peanut M&M's. Still nothing? God, you're hopeless, Damar.
Ever since Maria left last season, I haven't been able to find someone I can make cry on cue. It's very upsetting.
So, they love the agua chile, and Patton was like, what about the pozole from Damar? And Suzette, Selena's sister, is like, this is very, very family. This is very family. She's like, wow, you know, one thing Gail never heard after her glamour shots in the mall. So soft and beautiful. Really good job on that tortilla.
And Cheryl Swoopes loves Evelyn's dish, and she's basically like, wow, I mean, I ate it all. And Pamela goes, pace yourself. Concept that I've barely been able to teach to Gail after 16 years, but hopefully I can make some impact on you. Pace yourself.
So then Ashley and Jay are next, and they had Babe. So Ashley did candied pork, and I think she had some herb yogurt in there and killed
lettuces. She did a killed lettuces.
What
does
that mean?
First of all, well, she said that killed lettuces are an Appalachian thing where, like, you basically put the lettuces in, like, hot oil and they wilt instantly. Oh. But I'm wondering now, this whole, like, killed lettuces, pork, Babe, is this just some strange ode to Babe the pig from the 90s? I'm like, Ashley, we see what you're doing here.
She's like, my dish is called You Did Good. Good. I love that movie, Babe. So then Jay did her seafood gumbo with okra and kimchi. And she's crying because she loved Leah Chase. They're like, I mean, that's great, but...
Who? Leah Chase? Oh, I knew her. I love Leah Chase. Is Leah Chase in this challenge? Who's related to Leah Chase here? God, I love her. I'm so glad we're honoring Leah Chase.
Wow, thanks a lot. And Jay's just like crying, and Pamela goes, it's okay, we're all emotional. I get it. Well, we're not all emotional. You're basically the only one who's emotional. You're crying, okay? You're crying on television, Jay.
I know I don't show my emotions very easy. My emotions are basically represented by Gail's patterns. Look at me, I'm a mess.
Hey, Nene, what did you think about Jay's 5-minute gumbo? Nini's like, well, it's very flavorful, and I don't know if I would say that her inspiration is Babe as much as it is Leah Chase. That's really fair. Like a state fair. Have you guys ever heard about that? It's this thing that poor people go to. They have so much fun. They eat funnels. Actual funnels.
And Kelsey's like, speaking of funnels, state fair, am I right? I'm obsessed with okra kimchi. Just obsessed with it. But this one is lacking in depth.
It's like, you're obsessed with okra kimchi? Like, who says that? I also like that Jay was telling her story about Leah Chase, and it was actually really sweet because
I got emotional too. I was like, this is
Leah beautiful. Wrote her the letter for her visa, so it's because of Leah Chase that she could stay in the country, and it's like a really sweet story.
It's amazing.
And she goes, yeah, and she's crying. And she goes, yeah. And she used to tell me if the gumbo's not right, she would punch me in the face. And everyone's like, whoa,
that story took quite a turn.
That's what I say to Gail every time she reaches for my biscuits.
So, let's see. So, Ashley's candied pork. And Christine Ha's like, well, being visually impaired, I was scared to cut into the pork because I didn't want it to go flying off. And, you know, it turns out that my fears were correct.
Oh, so Gail's not wearing that pork on top of her head on purpose?
I thought it was her funky new fascinator. So then, the ballet lady is like, because they do not like Ashley's dish at all. And there's a lady there who is like a ballerina, and she's like, I mean, we have to be honest, and we have to be able to say your baby is ugly. Oh, that's true. Okay, now do Gail.
Let's all give a warm welcome to Gail's midwife.
So next up, Buddha. And he had Betsy, and he's like, well, she became a stunt woman whose favorite move was the figure eight. So she would put the figure eight in a bag, fly it to Paris, throw it at the plane so it could fly. That's pretty much it. Make any sense?
Sometimes she would wake up and her hair would be a mess, and she'd have to sort of fix it. So she'd put a little mousse in there. So I made some chicken mousse. Because sometimes she also had her little pet chicken. Also, its feathers were a little crazy, so she had to put some mousse in the chicken, too. So, you know, they were quite a stylish pair.
Just a question. I know I'm a man. I'm trying not to speak very much in this challenge, but why the popcorn?
And he's like, because when you see Brave Betsy fly, you need popcorn.
He's like,
Everyone right. goes,
and then Luke's story gets worse and worse, right? He's like, well, the time that she left for Europe was about the same time that I left for Europe. So I made the first thing that I learned in Europe, oyster emulsion and chicken fudge.
Thank you for centering yourself in the lady's story. That's what I was concerned. I was concerned that we'd actually have a moment to celebrate her, but you know, now we got to celebrate Luke at last.
Oh, so an asshole! And Luke seems so nice. He doesn't seem like an asshole at all.
No,
I'm surprised I don't like him. But God, he's just so full of it.
He is. He does seem nice, but he's also pretentious. And yeah, he's like, yeah, she left the same time I left, so I made an emulsion of oysters. And then, I mean, honestly, it doesn't get better. He's like, so here's some cured salmon that's barely cured. It's basically a slab of raw salmon with the oyster emulsion of my youth and chicken fudge.
I read that she got a cold one time, so I wanted to make sure to cure the salmon, which I loved, when I went to Europe. So
she once had some undercooked chicken, which really gave her the shits. So here's some chicken fudge for you.
So the judges loved Buddhas. They were like, Buddha is so much technique, creativity, really good. But then Luke's, nope. And Luke, again, unsalted. It's like very poorly salted.
Yes. Somehow he made a chicken fudge and he made a cured salmon that was undersalted. I've never heard of like a smoked salmon or a cured salmon or a lox that didn't taste salty enough.
Yeah. So then
it's like literally what you need to make this. That's how you make it. Like, how do you cure something and it doesn't taste salty? What did you cure it in?
Seaweed.
Pepper?
Miso. Seaweed and miso.
Oh, God.
Sky. I don't know. I guess he's thinking that there's enough. Every week I say this, but I guess he's thinking there's enough salt in whatever he's using. Is. But no, it's not enough to cure.
It's not fish. Enough.
Okay. So Nick and Joe are next, and the little potato mushroom things are coming. And they're just kind of looking at it like, wow. Tom goes, wow, the potatoes are cute. I mean, they're cute. Huh.
Yeah. They're like, And and then Joe's Gulf shrimp with coconut lime, salsa verde, and corn polenta salad. I did want to go back and address one more thing from the Luke moment, which is that Padma, they don't like Luke's dish, and she goes, you know, Luke's dish sitting next to this chicken dish feels paltry a little bit. And Tom goes, no, the poultry's right here. And they're like, why did we invite a man to this dinner? Why did we do this?
Thanks for coming to our celebration of dad jokes. Who's more that was disappointed? Hilarious. Tom and his son, or his son and his father's dad jokes? All right, let's cut the commercial so no one has to answer that. All right, Selena's sister, I see you nodding.
God, it really makes me pine for more of Buddha's popcorn jokes. Am I right?
So Joe's like, well, Ann Richards really liked Thai, so I did Gulf shrimp with coconut lime salsa verde. And Ann Richards' daughter's like, well, those are things that my mother loved, and Joe's version of shrimp and grits, I mean, that was definitely a take on things that she loved.
I do specifically remember her opening her mouth and putting those things in her mouth, so I guess on that level this is successful.
Yeah, but, and one of the ladies goes, these grits are too sweet. I mean, this does not remind me of the woman that I knew. Okay, there needs to be more spice in them. What the hell is this? She hates it.
Yeah, Gail's like, she could have pumped up the flavor a lot. She could have really pumped it up. Oh, yeah, like your culottes. Am I right, everyone? Have you ever seen paisley culottes on one side and plaid on the other? I mean, Gail is outrageous.
And Kelsey goes, well, there were some misses here. Now, I would eat Nick's dish for lunch.
Ooh, I love that understated shade, Kelsey. Welcome to the family.
Left your time of the day, shade, Kels. So then Monique's oysters are done, and they're too big. And she's like, I'm going to cut them in half. So she starts cutting fried oysters in half, which is wrong with this. God.
I mean, like, don't even be on this. Again, quit your career. What are you talking about? The fried oysters are too big? I don't know where. First of all, this is a Texas challenge, by the way. This is to celebrate big, bold women and in a big, bold state. And you're going to say, oh, no, these oysters are going to be too big. So you're going to cut beautiful fried oysters in half. I was enraged, Ronnie. I was enraged.
And then she's doing a broth, too, but she decides not to serve as much broth because the oysters are going to sink in the broth. I'm like, lady.
What is wrong
with her? So you're going to serve them a big, fat, cut-into oyster, fried oyster? What is going on? Like, get her out.
Even if she had done the broth and the big oyster, does it make sense to put a fried oyster in broth? Like, I don't understand any of this.
It's going
to
be soggy. Yeah. So then, let's see. So Monique had Barbara Jordan, and she's like, you know, she went back to her hometown and she opened a law office, and these were the ingredients most accessible in that area. Guilty.
And then Jackson, he serves up his pasta, which has chicken and awful ragu. And Gail just goes, why? Oh, Gail, we asked that of you so many times.
And he whips out a little book and he's like, well, she ran three times and she has heart and guts. Heart and guts, because she just wanted to make it happen. So I made heart and guts. That's what you guys are going to get. And
why did he need notes to give that? He's been saying that spiel for 24 hours, and all of a sudden in front of this table he has to pull out his little book to remember to say she had heart and guts, so I made something with heart and guts in it.
He puts his notebook up to his face. He's like, God, this notebook smells good. Okay, so anyway, we'll go back now and let you guys talk. So then Tom's like, anyone else getting a half an oyster? Why not a whole oyster vibe from this oyster dish with like a little drop of liquid that I don't really understand?
Everyone's like, yes. Everyone's so confused by this, justifiably so. And they basically are like, this sucks, right? And then we see a shot of Monique giving a spoonful of it to Jackson back in the kitchen. And she's like, this isn't too salty, right? He goes, I think you should have someone else try it.
So let's see. So Nini was the only one who got broth. She got everyone else's broth. Nini's poor oyster is like sinking. Yeah. And Gail's like, well, all I had were two beans and two halves of an oyster. And the Snickers bar from your purse. And the rolls from the breakfast bar, Gail. Don't think we're not watching you.
And that's not even a spoon. It's a frozen Twizzler.
So, they are just very confused, basically, by everything. So, it's time
to vote. Padma's like, and let me tell you something. I am not a fan of Gale. I'm sorry. I meant to say, I am not a fan of Ophel.
So, they've got a menu in front of them. And she's like, but it's not a menu. It's a palette. Oh. Okay, fill those out.
And by the way, thank you all. Well, Lori, one of the women at the table is like, guys, thank you so much for coming here to Texas right now. For you to come at this moment couldn't be more important. And Padma's like, thank you. Thank you. We're here to change everything. Thank you so much. We do all the good work. Finally, it's time that someone finally recognized my work, Padma Lakshmi.
We've decided to change the state shape into an odd rectangle so Nick can make a state-shaped dinner just for you, Texas. That's how much we're giving to you.
You know, it's such a gift for us to share our fame with you people. And so it was our honor as much as it was your honor. Thank you so much.
So judges table time. And Tom's like, well, it's great seeing everyone take the challenge to heart and guts. But some of the dishes were a kick in the nuts. And some were just plain awful, terrible, horrible. Wow, I'm actually proud of my son after seeing some of the crap that you people put out today. So, Padma.
Well, we would like to see Evelyn, Jackson, and Buddha. I see you have some popcorn still. We don't want to hear any more jokes. Thank you very much.
Evelyn, thank you for actually having a personal connection. Tiffany loved her cucumber and the agua chile, and it was refreshing, and everything just sang like Selena.
Yeah, and Gail felt like it was bright and powerful, and it had a crescendo. It really built up. I mean, every bit was a little bit spicier than the last. Well, to be fair, Gail, you do say that every time you try to chug a pepper shaker.
So Jackson's next, and he's like, well, the pasta was beautifully made. And the guest judge is saying, you know, it's really bold to use offal, and you pulled it off. Padma's like, I thoroughly enjoyed your disgusting ragu. Hey, could you do us a favor? Would you say heart and guts again? It's hilarious.
And then with Buddha, Tom's like, you know, it was just a great roast chicken. I mean, you gave a sensible technique with great narrative. Emphasis on technique, because apparently every single week we have to kick someone off because they don't even know how to cook every single week. So kudos to you.
You know, one of the guests called you all ugly babies. That's neither here nor there. Evelyn wins.
Just wanted to share that. They love us. So
congratulations, Evelyn. 2 for 2. How are you feeling? And Evelyn's like, well, it's just, I didn't really want an answer. Go stand over on the side, please. Thank you.
And then Ashley, Monique, and Luke, you are in the bottom. Please stand here so you can be publicly humiliated by me. Thank you.
One of you will be drowned and strangled by the ghost of Anne Richards.
Luke, let's start with you. And he's like, well, I pulled all the things I wanted to relate to me. And Gail's like, it's not about relating to you, you dipshit. Gail's like, no. Well, it's hard to cure salmon in 2 hours. It needed salt, texture, taste, creativity. Some intelligence would have been nice. That would have been really good. You might as well have served me. Brat charge rummery eggs!
Okay, someone sedate Gail, please. Do you have any more of that chicken fudge hanging around?
He's like, well, I thought the chicken fudge would be enough salt. And Tom's like, how could that be when we only had a tiny dollop of chicken fudge? And also, fuck you thrice for making me say chicken fudge. Because even I feel like a fucking idiot saying chicken fudge.
I mean, you have me, Tom Colicchio, in a position where I'm begging for more chicken fudge just to get through your goddamn dish.
Monique, did you feel like you were struggling today? The answer is yes. Tiffany, what do you have to say?
I love when Fab asks a question like that. Monique, did you feel like the idea to cut an oyster in half was the dumbest decision in the history of cooking ever since the caveman? Only one right answer.
And Tiffany's like, that bean salad reminded me of 3 bean salad in a can. So there was really no definition of flavor there. And Gail's like,
slow clap for Tiffany. Wow. I was just going to say it reminded me of garbage I found on the side of the street. But the can that you just can open up. God, I almost wish you had said something about lunch.
Can we get Nene Wen back here just so we can fire her in front of the person who's taking the salty spot? Thanks.
Gail's like, my bowl had beans and 2 halves of an oyster, and that's it. I didn't get broth. I didn't get apple. And she didn't get a Twix bar, for crying out loud. God, she won't stop talking about it.
So, did you cut the oysters, or did they naturally look that straight down the middle?
Please tell me how you found a way to deep fry 3/4 of the oyster and have the other half be fully exposed, because I've never seen anything as idiotic as that.
And Monique's like, well, they were too big, so I cut them. And Tom's like, well, you know what happens then? The juices run out. And you know what? You lost the oyster. Oh, gosh. Next time I eat cereal, I just can't wait to look on the back of that carton. See the missing oyster. I'm giving them a call. I'm turning you in. That's it.
Ashley, when those plates went out, and you were like, were you like, this is how I want this plate to come out? When you looked at that garbage on a plate, were you thinking, this is how I want to celebrate women in Texas? Was that your thought process?
She's like, yeah, honestly, I was sticking to the narrative. Just,
the narrative was good, but gross. Ew.
That was narrative for your dish. It just sounds.
Are you aware that the narrative is, you don't mess with Texas, not you don't serve a mess in Texas. Burn.
Ashley, because Ashley's crying, and Padma loves this, because she goes,
how are you feeling, Ashley? Lol.
Yeah, I love Ashley's crying, and she's asking how she's feeling. Are you having a good time right now, Ashley? Tell me about your emotional state. I can't figure it out from the tears down your throat, down your cheeks, into your throat, probably, let's be honest.
And Ashley's like, well, it sucks feeling like the weakest player. Well, it's not that you feel like the weakest player. You are the weakest player. But don't worry, you have immunity today. You're not going anywhere.
We just wanted you to hear this. we just wanted you to
feel our disappointment. So just bathe in that for a moment.
We actually brought in a shaman to harness the souls of our 5 strong women, and the souls are saying, you're an idiot, Ashley. How does that feel? We just wanted you to hear.
So Tom's like, well, you know, as happened with these women in history, you know, some of the women were celebrated properly and lifted up, and the dishes were very inspiring, and some of the women were just before their time and treated like utter crap. So, Luke, let's start with you. Loser. Wow. How could you, Luke? Wow. Luke, the women's movement would like to thank you for punching them in both boobs with your chicken fudge. Okay.
So then the judges are Oh, wait, you just go, okay.
Well, I don't even know. I just ended it with Padma. So I don't know where I am.
Oh, okay. I got confused there for a moment. So now they're judging. They sent them back to the stew room, and Padma's like, tonight was such an inspiring dinner. It's unfortunate that Gail was there. And for the most part, we had a great meal. But for these three chefs, it was not a Gail today. I mean, it was a, I'm getting lost in my own words. Someone help me out, for crying out loud.
Gail's like, I'm sorry, it is really hard to concentrate. We ate something called chicken fudge, so.
They hate the chicken. Well, they hate that Luke is just like underseasoned and there was like nothing on there and the cracklings were burnt.
Padma, I love that we got an angry Padma because that's what I live for on this show. So they start talking about Monique's dried oysters and flavorless beans. And Padma gets all mad and she goes,
she had everything she needed to make great flavors, but she did not do that today.
Okay.
I quit. Okay, I'm back. Sorry I had to get that out.
So Monique and Noma are brought back out. And Tom gives his little speech. And Padma's like, Monique, please pack your croissants and sell them to somebody who's pretending to give a shit because you can't make anything else. Leave, stupid. She had everything to make great flavors.
Yeah, we really felt that one of our favorite parts about this challenge is that as we celebrate great women, we decided to destroy the dreams of one other woman. So have a great day. Bye.
So Monique's like, well, for me, Top Chef really reminded me how strong I am as a person. The strength it took to cut an oyster in half was a lot. They were big oysters. So,
you know, I mean, I realized I was strong because it does take a lot of willpower to say, I don't care about conventional wisdom or common sense. I am going to slice this fried oyster in half. I am pretty strong.
The next week on Top Chef, we're celebrating people with skin just as dry as Gail's. Dinosaurs!
Wow.
Oh, it's the Jurassic Park challenge.
Oh,
and
God.
Padma's like, worlds will collide. Also, I'm wearing go-go boots.
I just can't even imagine how they're going to incorporate Jurassic Park into Top Chef. I'm just so excited for Padma to try to make this work.
Okay, now we're going to dangle my nanny up and wait until a big shark dinosaur jumps up and eats her whole.
We're going to watch the Jell-O jiggle and see how long it can stay there before Gail just jumps on it and swallows the whole thing.
Oh, gosh. Well, that brings us to the end of Top Chef. But don't worry, next week we're going to get to see Kwame.
Yeah, good old Kwame. It's going to be Kwame is back in the house. Very exciting. One half of the Kwame-Maya relationship that we're currently tracking on Bravo, sort of. Mm-hmm. And so thanks everyone for listening to this episode. We'll be back later this week with some Below Deck Sailing Yacht and all our Real Housewives.
Okay, love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Courtney Shamazing Shawdell. Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClelland.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She leaves us in stitches, it's Catherine Taylor.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen, the Ruby Rubano.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Paging Paige Mills.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.